In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to look today at the readings for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is the last of the feasts that have a special time and a special reading and so forth. It's the 13th of the series, actually. So the theme, obviously, then, is freedom from sin. Now, it's kind of hard for us to even get an idea of what that could mean. It's what's called it's a limit. What we have is a limit experience. That is, we can imagine what it would be like to be without sin and without the effects of sin. But we've never experienced it. We were born with original sin. And Augustine has some very wonderful, he said, I watched two infants. Mother had twins, I guess. And they were nursing at the breast, and the way they were looking at each other with competition and jealousy, and they're infants. He said, it's impossible not to realize that there's something wrong with us from conception. Now, people don't like to think about that, but it's better that we do. First place, it makes more sense of our life and our own struggles, but also it gives us this promise of freedom from all sin. That's where we're going. What we celebrate today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the day we've set aside. If you count, it's 9 months between that and I think it's the let's see if this is December 8th. So then we have January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. That's the number of months, and then the birth of Our Lady without sin. Now, when this doctrine was proclaimed in the bull or the proclamation, Ineffabilis Deus, which means the ineffable, unspeakable God in His mercy and so forth. So, in this number that we have here in the document is where the Pope makes this proclamation. This is awesome when you think of it. Huh? He can't make a mistake when he does this. God will stop him. God will enlighten him. God will send him friends to do something so that this solemn teaching is infallible. This is the way things are, and we can have no doubt about that. What a grace to the Church, and what a service to all Christians, and how we pray that we be one Church again, when all the, parts of this. Somebody once said, a friend of mine, and even what mystery of the faith we were pondering or studying, but he said, we will never understand the full ramifications of this mystery until, I think he said, the Congo is completely Christian. So we're still there. So, these are the words of the definition. We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instance of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin. Remember, they're proclaiming all that as a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful. Very solemn. The Pope is saying the fact that Mary was conceived immaculately is taught by God. And we have learned of it through him and his Spirit and through all the tradition which preceded this. And so I declare in this authority that I have as Pope to say, Mary, you see, was preserved from all stain of original sin. And that is a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful. Mary is conceived without any sin. Aren't we lucky? Because that's the one who cares most for us. And she'll never, you know, tire of caring for us or loving us or letting the relationship get patched up if we do something to rupture. Because she's immaculately conceived and she is transformed by the very grace of the Incarnation so that her heart is like the heart of God incarnate. It's not infinite as is Jesus's, but it shares in that. And that's the doctrine. Why did it take so long? It was 1854. Because there were just a lot of problems to try to figure out. Duns Scotus was the one who finally said, look, once you hear it, you say, why didn't anybody else think of that? Moses, Aaron, David, Ruth, they all lived by grace. It was an anticipated participation in the mercy of Christ. There is no other source of grace. So all that we say, all that we say in regard to the Mother of God is that from the very moment that she began to exist as a person, that is, the very moment of conception, she was sinless. Because of the merits, foreseen merits of Jesus Christ, the Son whom she has just conceived, to whom she will give birth, whom she will care for until he goes at about the age of 30 out to proclaim the gospel, to heal, and to tell people about the Father. And then finally, through the jealousy and anger and fear of poor sinners, we don't know what we'd do if we were there, he was crucified, died in an act of love, and in that act brought the whole human race back to God. And he was pure. And he was the son of a pure woman. And one of the reasons why Our Lady had to be pure in this sense was because of the influence of a mother on a son. His basic images, his basic understanding how to relate and all the rest, that had to be sinless. No wound, because she got mad at him and slapped him and told him to shut up and not cry so much, or things, you know, people do. Not this relationship. It had to be a perfect relationship. Why? Just think, besides all the reasons, he had to be a sinless person offering a perfectly pure act of love amid suffering. But think as well, you see, of the nature of that act. And then think of the influence of a mother on her son, her firstborn child, a son. If she were cantankerous or short-sighted or lazy, that impacts the child. And nothing could negatively impact the incarnate Word of God. He was as vulnerable in that age, you know, as a tiny little, as any other human being. But everything that reached him through the immaculate heart and mind and emotions of Mary. And so his whole thought process, see, he was never afraid of God the Father, even in his human heart and emotions, because he too, and if you want to say this, was immaculately conceived. There was nothing in the influence of mother upon son that had to be corrected, that had to be fixed up, because from his very conception, she was, when that child was conceived in her, she was making an heroic act of love and acceptance of her vocation as a Jewish woman, graced now to be the one in whom the Messiah, who is God of God and light of light, that unfolds as time goes on. And she was totally, totally accepting of that. Let it be to me as you have said. And so, in that way, you see, it's the perfection of this human being that we proclaim. There was not a ruffle in her that was dominated or influenced by sin. And that's the mother of the Messiah, who is God incarnate. And it was a perfectly normal human relationship. When she carried him in her womb, when she nursed him, when she took care of him, cooked his meals, taught him the Bible, and all the rest, she gave him a perfect human love and esteem, so that his nothing in him would deflect from his own images, emotions, mind, and memory, which echo the depth of understanding in his spirit, where he is joined directly with the Word of God, and that radiates through his whole being. Because there's no obstacle. And why is there no obstacle? Because his mother had perfect reactions herself to everything. She had pain. She had some misunderstanding, it seems. Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to talk to you. Who's my mother? Who's my brothers? Did she not understand something there? Probably. But she misunderstood it with total purity of heart. And we don't know how that all works out. But that is the doctrine. Mm-hmm. We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instant of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved from all stain of original sin. And that fact is a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful. Amen.